Amen. Success is built in every one of us. Nobody plans to fail. At the beginning of every year, I believe many people write down their goals, their objectives. If you don't, I say do. Those who do research have found out that only 3% of people begin the year by writing down some goals and objectives. Of those 3%, 97% end up actually doing something about them. Write something down. The year is still young. Even God writes. You look in the Bible and there are books. The God who can't forget anything has books in which he writes stuff. He has books of remembrance and books of destiny and so on and so forth. So write something down. So, I don't know what your success rate is when you write your goals down and you begin the year and you're looking at what you started the year with and ended. I don't know, maybe you are 50%, 60, 70, I don't know, 90. My success rate has not been 100%. And that grieves me. I say, Lord, how come last year I had this goal? I ended the year and it's not accomplished. And I've been praying about it. The other year I had this goal. So there are some things that have carried on year after year after year. And I'm like, Lord, what are you saying about this? So, this is the hook. He said, Joshua did it. Paul used to do it. The psalmists have done it. And when you start doing it, some of those goals will get accomplished. I was like, okay. One thing that I can start doing differently this year that will bring my goals towards 100% accomplished. And so my message is the one change for this year and the years to come that will bring you to 100%. That's what God says. Let's look at Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So verse 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. He said, he didn't say some things he does. He didn't say a handful of things he does. He says, whatever prospers. That's how extravagant that promise is. Whatever he does prospers. But it is predicated on delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. I was like, is this it? Meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. So, he gives us the example of a tree. So, if we want to see what he really means, we go to the tree, right? We ask the tree, hey, tree, your leaves don't wither. Come rain, come shine, drought, no drought. You are planted. You are drawing water and nutrients from the soil. Your leaves do not wither. Come wind, come rain, your leaves are on. You know, the tree needs leaves to do photosynthesis, right? So that you can produce the food. Without leaves, there is no production. In the fall, in the country here, there is no fruit. The fruit comes in the spring, in the summertime. Come fall, there is no fruit. There are no leaves, right? Yeah. And you know, the leaves that are sick, the leaves that are like the fall when the color changes and they drop, when the wind comes, it blows them away. So this tree is planted by the streams of water. And so they continue to bring in the water. You can go to, I think, Jeremiah 17, he talks about a tree. He says, those who trust in the Lord will be like the tree that is planted by the streams of water. And their roots go to where the water is, and they continue to bring water in. Whether it is drought or not, it doesn't matter to them. And he compares it with another tree that is planted where? In an area that is dry. And so, you see, in the meditation of the word, you squarely plant yourself on the riverbank. Okay? We know the word of God is the water that we need. The word of God is the bread that we need. The word of God is our everything. Without the word, nothing happens. Amen? So, it's different from just reading the word then, right? Because we are reading the word. We are hearing the word. We are preached to. I don't know. I've been a believer for more than 20 years. So you can imagine how many sermons I've had, how many Bible studies I've gone to, and I love Bible study. So I've been to every Friday night Bible study, Monday night Bible study, and extra. If there was a minister of God coming to town from outside, I'm there at the crusade. And so we hear a lot of word. We are reading a lot of word. But it's really not having the effect that it's supposed to have. Because some of the situations stay. We are praying hard. Maybe if I pray another 30 minutes and this will happen. Maybe if I raise my voice and I really pray with a lot of intensity and passion, and this will change. And it's the same. So, anyway, to me the Lord was saying, hey, Wabomba, meditate on the word. And I say to you guys, I think maybe I'm not different from you guys. Let's begin doing something different with this word. Let us meditate on this word and be like that tree that is planted by the streams of water. The Lord was saying, hey, that change which you are waiting for, you are delaying it. You are the one who is delaying your change. You can pray all you want. You can declare all you want. But unless you change, you are going to see the same thing. Who is the agent of change anyway? I know God works miracles, wonders, and so on, but he has given to man earth. We are the one that he is using here on the earth to accomplish his purposes. If we stay the same, nothing changes. Things stay the same, status quo. When we begin being transformed, and then our surroundings will change. The pastors will not be preaching the same word Sunday after Sunday and they look and nothing has happened. The pastors will have an easy time when we, the sheep, begin changing. Amen? Amen. So I go to Evangelistic Empowerment Ministries and my two pastors are here. Amen. So we get out every Saturday and we are knocking on doors and saying, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And asking people to give their lives to this Jesus. And some do. And we see them and we say, Lord, you know we have no power to bring change in this one. Unless you intervene, it's going to be the same. It's going to be this sheep that came in and does not change. You have to move and do something. And the Lord, I believe, is saying, you have to move and do something. You, Wabomba, you have to do something. If there is anything to do, God has already done it. So, that transformation has to begin where? Here. That transformation has to begin with you. And maybe you ask yourself, how do I get transformed? Because I'm dealing with these things every day. I'm willing to. And so, I believe that's what the meditation on the word does. Amen? Amen. It's no coincidence, I tell you. It's no coincidence. I looked through. I said, all right, where else have you said meditate? It's amazing. You look in the Old Testament, there are tons of places, so many places where he has said meditate, or I meditated on the word of God. Okay? So I looked. I said, all right, let's see. Genesis 24:63. He says Isaac was in the field meditating. Okay? All right. You go to Psalms 1:2-3. That's the one that we just read. You go to Psalms 5:1. Meditate. Psalms 63:6. Psalms 49:3. Psalms 77:12. Psalms 104:34. Psalms 119 is littered with meditate. I meditate on your law. I meditate on your commandments. I meditate on your precepts. I meditate on your testimonies. I meditate on on the wonders of your works. So much of it. No wonder David and the psalmist were so successful. They found something that they could do. They anchored themselves in that word in that way. And the results show. Kings did it. Okay, so many places. You can do your own study of meditate and meditation. Joshua, I think that's the one that blows my mind. You know, Joshua was all the way from Egypt. Okay? Everybody except Joshua and Caleb and the ones that were below fighting or military age died in the wilderness. Those who were less than 20 are the ones that made it. So Joshua and Caleb are the oldest people in the promised land. So you see, Joshua had seen the Red Sea open and people pass. He had seen the Egyptian army die and perish in the Red Sea. He had seen manna all the way. He had been commissioned. He's the one who helped the children of Israel go through the Jordan. He went all the way into the promised land, the division of the land, and so on and so forth. He saw it all. When God was giving him the commission to take over after Moses, he could have said anything. He could have said, Joshua, I want you to assemble the 100,000 able-bodied soldiers, and we are going to take this land by storm. You would expect he would like give him some dramatic counsel, right? For such a big task. He did not. He said, be strong and very courageous. Maybe 4 times he said, be strong and very courageous. because you are going to take these people into the promised land. The same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Then he goes further down. He says, again, be strong and courageous. You are leading these people into the promised land. You know, the law of my servant Moses, the one he gave you, I want you to meditate on it day and night. Day and night, so that you will be able to do it. Do not deviate from it to the left or to the right. Be strong and courageous. That way, you will be successful and prosperous. So, that's from God. Meditate on it day and night. He could have said anything else, but the Lord said that. And he was successful. You look at the book of Joshua, how many kings he killed. I think 31 or 32 plus, all the way to his old age. He was still strong. Okay? So there is something to it. So what does it really mean to meditate? We do meditate all the time. Meditation is engaging in contemplation or reflection. This is from Webster, Merriam-Webster. There can be more technical and spiritual definitions. You will find them. This is accessible. To engage in contemplation or reflection. Mental exercise for the purpose of reaching a higher spiritual awareness. Focusing one's thoughts. You are focusing. Reflecting. Pondering. Okay. The last definition here is to plan. We are all doing some planning. Or to project in the mind. We are planning, we are projecting, we are seeing all kinds of possibilities every day. So it's within our capacity to do it. Okay? Synonyms. To chew over, consider, contemplate, kick around. I'm kicking around this idea in my head. I am ruminating. I'm wrestling with this. I'm brooding over it, like a chicken brooding over some eggs to make sure that they get the right temperature so they can hatch. Okay? But ruminate. Ruminate is an interesting one. Those who have done, who have been on the farms, like, or those who are herds boys, know what it is to ruminate. You know, when the cow has grazed and has had all its grass, and then in the heat of the day, what does it do? It finds a cool spot, it lays down, and then it starts bringing back some of what it ate earlier on and continue to work on it. Until it gets all the goodies out of it. That is to ruminate. I think that is one of the best examples or definitions of meditate. You've taken in, you've been grazing on the word of God all day, all week, and then you find a quiet spot and you bring it back and start chewing on it and thinking about it and meditating on it until you get the goodness out of it. Until some realizations come to you. Amen? Amen. So, that is what basically the Lord is saying. This word, you just can't glaze over it and get information. You can have all the information in your head. But the meditation on that information is what is going to bring the gist out of that word. So that word starts forming you and transforming you and making you to be that person that God means for you to be, that you can effect the change that you want to see and bring him much glory and honor wherever he has planted you. Amen? Amen. So, you are meditating on the word day and night. So when can you do this? Anytime, day, night. Actually, the Lord says meditate on it day and night. So you could be at work and you are chewing on a word that you have been reading. You are thinking about it in the back of your mind and in your spirit. Okay? Day and night. You can meditate anywhere. I saw David was meditating in his bed when he was not yet a king. He is out there in the wilderness, in the desert, and he says, in my bed, I meditate on you. In Psalms 119, he says, in the watches of the night, I meditate on your precepts, or I meditate on your commands. Anytime. In the fields, Isaac was in the fields. He was meditating. He had gone out in the nature, and he was meditating out there. Okay? But you can do it anywhere. Preferably a quiet place whereby you can think your thoughts and have the Spirit of God help you to bring the gist or meaning or explanation to whatever it is you're meditating on. Okay? Okay, so what are you going to be meditating on? In the scripture, he says, meditate on the laws of God. This was a king. So he has to know how to rule lawfully. Okay? Yeah. He meditated on the law. Joshua was told meditate on the law. Okay? In Psalms 63:6, he says, I meditate on you. So he's thinking about the Lord and who he is and what he has done and what he has promised and so on and so forth. On God's commands, precepts, testimonies, and so on. On the works and wonders of God. So, you can meditate on a topic you choose. One man of God recently, we went to a conference, he said, the Lord told him, I want you to meditate on my name. So, he has been meditating on the name of the Lord for years. I guess there must be so much in that name. We sing about the powerful name, the awesome name, the name above every name, and so on. And you can find so much meaning in the name of God. Amen? Yeah, so a topic of your choice. A book. Maybe you want to meditate on a small book of the Bible. You read through the entire thing and you start thinking about it. Something that you are going through. Maybe you are sick and you want to find out what God has said about healing and really go deep into it and so on. So it's your choice and the Holy Spirit. Discuss and say, Spirit of God, what would you like me to meditate on? I'm sure he will answer. Amen? Amen. So how do you do it? If you Google it, you'll find tons of ways. Good and bad. Meditation has been actually hijacked by the New Age, the Eastern religions, and so on. And I think in the Christian community, meditation is something that we kind of want to put at arm's length. But don't you know that those people have stolen from us? This is ours. It's in the Word. We better reclaim it and make the most of it. But we have to do it right. So, one of the clearest distinctions is in the Eastern world, they say, empty your mind. We don't want to empty your mind. Who else do you think can come and occupy an empty mind? There can be a lot of spirits out there that are waiting to get into an empty house. Amen? Amen. Our meditation is we fill our minds and our spirits with the Word of God. We fill our minds and our spirits with the things of God, with the wonders of God, with God Himself. We want to fill ourselves and be thinking, chewing on that. Not empty. No. So if you go somewhere and it says, sit down, crisscross, applesauce, put your hands like this, close your eyes, and empty, you say, that's not ours. Amen? Amen. You want to fill yourself with the things of God. Amen. Amen. All right. So, how? Get a quiet place whereby you have no distractions. All right? Two, there is so much noise in here that needs also to be quieted down. Maybe when you start, there is going to be all kinds of noise coming. You forgot to do this. So-and-so said that. This objective at work is not accomplished, and so on. So many things start coming to memory. Jot them down and redirect your mind to whatever it is that you are trying to think on, chew on, or meditate on. Amen? Amen. So our mind is not really trained. Many times your mind can go in any direction. With meditation, you are training your mind to focus. You bring it back. This is what we are here for. We bring it back. We bring it back. Until eventually your mind says, hey, this guy is serious. I better comply. And so it becomes a little bit easier over time to be able to focus your mind on a single verse and work on it and work on it, or to focus your mind on a book and work on it and work on it until you get the gist of it that God has for you in that particular verse or that particular book. Okay? So read your selected verse, chapter, whatever that you had planned, and spend as much time to gain basic understanding of it. So you are not going to meditate on something that you know generally. It's like the cow that grazed already and sits down to ruminate. Prime the pump. Get scripture in there. It's going to be much easier to start thinking about a specific word or a specific verse or a specific chapter. Okay? All right. So, get down to business. Go over it. Not one time. Maybe not two times. It could even be 10 times before you really start getting some sense out of it. Before it starts making sense to you. Or before what God had for you in that verse starts coming out. You've looked at a single word. You've looked at a couple words. You've read through it entirely 2-3 times. I can't tell you how many times. It depends on you and the Lord. But it's going to be repetitive. Over and over and over until what God means for you comes out. Or until that change that you're seeking happens. Amen? Amen. We are at a good age. There is a lot of paper and pens, or you have a smartphone, you can write something. It's good to write something down. What are you getting from it? Write it down. You can always go back to it. Next time you come back, you know I stopped here and you can begin there. Pray. I would say even that should be the beginning. Lord, I'm here to look at your word. I need your help, Spirit of God. I've been through this many times and I haven't seen anything, but with your help, you will take that which belongs to God and make it known to me. I invite you, help me, and then you begin. So prayer is important. The Holy Spirit will help you. Amen? Amen. Open your heart to the truth and the wisdom that comes out from that time. Okay, this one is a hard one. Picture yourself or imagine yourself in it. Visualize. Use all your senses. I know. Visualize, imagine, that's like some dirty words in Christianity. But it's different from the visualize that the Eastern religions are telling us. Let me ask you, who made you? God did. And when he had made man, he looked and he said, very good. So who put imagination in there? Who put the ability to visualize in there? When he was done, he said, very good. It's good. It's like an instrument. You can take a good instrument and use it for the wrong thing. So Our imagination should not be into the worst things. Our visualization should be to visualize that reality that God has already created. We are not creating an alternative reality. We are asking God, open our eyes that we can see that which you mean for us to see. I don't want to create something out there and try to live it. That's fantasy. So, some imagining is in there. When you look at the Word of God, it may not be in there explicitly, but look at the Hall of Fame. He says that some of the people that believed, they saw the promises from afar. What is that? Did they stand and they looked and they say, oh, there? No. In here. Tell me. There is a good worship song. My sister, I love your songs. I've had you in my house. Yes. So it's good to meet with you. So you are leading us into the throne room of God. And all these people, I look at you. Sometimes I have not closed my eyes completely. I'm looking. You have closed your eyes. Tell me, where are you going? Where are you going? You are going somewhere. You are visualizing something. I am imagining or visualizing myself in the presence of God. Sometimes my screen is gray or blank, but I am worshiping. Some people see something on their screen. Amen? Amen. You are going somewhere in here. So, imagination is all right. We are doing a lot of it elsewhere. Why can't we do it here? Don't we pray over food and say, Lord, sanctify this book, this food, that it will be nourishing to my body? If you can sanctify your food, I want to tell you, sanctify your imagination. Lord, I'm praying that my imagination will be clean. That which I think about will be pleasing to you and will bring glory to your name. Didn't David say in Psalms 19:14, he said, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Yes. Lord, I've seen some bad things in my life. I wanted to tell the young people, those images that you are looking at on your phone, those ugly images, those ungodly images, those things you seem to be enjoying so much now. You know, your inside is like a hard drive. It's recording those things that you are seeing. Especially when you do it repeatedly. You are burning those things in your mind. When you least expect it, it will show up on your screen. Those who do Facebook say there is a wall, right? When you least expect it, that ugly image will show up on your wall. So, there is no free lunch. There is no free lunch. I warn you, when you least expect it, that ugly image will show up. So be careful what you take in. Be careful what you listen to. I wasn't born again when I was a kid. I was born again a grown young man. So we used to listen to those songs. You know, even now, even now, that song, I used to listen to reggae, that Bob Marley song that I listened to those days, again and again and again, until you would think that I am the one who actually composed it.
I will go to a grocery store, minding my own godly way, thinking my own godly sanctified thoughts, and then one love comes on. And the words are still there. I have to say, ushindwe katika jina la Yesu. Mimi siya ule ule. Mini libadilika. God changed me. I'm not the same man that I used to be. Amen. Or those who used to listen to Lucky Dube, Jerusalem. You say you hear Jerusalem and a strand of Jerusalem from that side shows up. And you have to say, no. No, 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 no. I'm not going to hum along. I'm not going to tap my foot to that. Some things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There is a great change since I've been born again. I am born again. I'm not that God-free that I used to be. But I seriously, what you take in is going to show up at some point. Yeah. So in the meditation and visualizing, those things that you took in those days are bound to come up. So it's going to take time again before the Lord to delete. Lord, I really don't like that image. I asked you to forgive me for engaging in that those days. Please, Lord, I am so grieved that I keep seeing that image. Help me to delete it. Okay? But yeah, so visualizing and imagination is part of it. See yourself walking in that thing that God has said. The world is doing it already. Yeah. You've heard of simulations. Before a pilot gets into a real aeroplane, they get into a simulator. They are visualizing themselves piloting that plane even before they get into it. By the time they sit in the cockpit, they have sat in a virtual cockpit already. They are ready to go. I even heard that basketball players do a lot of it. They keep on imagining and visualizing certain moves over and over and over before they get into the court. By the time they get there, they have already jumped that bridge in their mind and they are able to just execute. Easy. It could be for anything. So let's clean up our imagination. Let's clean up our visualization. Let's use it to the glory of God. Let's use it to get transformed. Okay? Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind in total. Why should we live in the mind of memory? We are there a lot in the memory. We can live in the mind also of imagination. We can imagine something great. Amen. Scripture will direct us. We are not making anything up. The Lord says we will heal. I want to say, begin seeing yourself lay hands on people and they get well. But you see how serious this is? Look, in Matthew, he says that to a man, if you lusted after a woman, it's like it's done, right? That is on the negative side. I am postulating on the positive side that I'm believing God that I'll be able to be used in healing or I'll be able to be used in evangelism, whatever gifts God has given you and they haven't come up, that I am continually seeing myself doing it. God will catch me up. Amen. 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 We will be able to do great things. I know time is up. So, picture yourself doing it. Imagine, visualize that word that you are meditating on becoming a reality here. It will become a reality on the outside. They say you win the battle first on the inside, and then you will win it on the outside. If you are defeated mentally, emotionally, and whatever within yourself, then that defeat will show up on the outside. Amen. Memorize the word. When you have a lot of word memorized, then it's easy for you to meditate day and night, because you don't have to go to your quiet place in order to be thinking those thoughts. Wherever you are, the word says this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? This is the temple of God. Wherever you are, you can continue to do the things of God, think the thoughts of God, meditate on God, and so on. Okay? And at the end of it all, the things that we have been looking for God to do, I think, will begin to be seen. So I say, I challenge you, ask me, January 1, 2020, if I am at 100% or close, I'll answer you. All right, finally, what are the other benefits? The word says, your faith will increase, because you are planted by the streams of water. Faith will increase and you'll be able to do more things. Many times we are not doing because we don't really have faith to act. This will activate your faith. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In the meditation, you are reading, you are speaking out, you are reading, you are speaking out, you are hearing yourself, you are taking it through your eyes, and it's definitely bound to change you. Amen? Your faith will increase. You'll have victory over sin. Amen? Many times it's the sins that are besetting us, pulling us down. So he says, your word I have hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Your level of wisdom will increase. Psalms 119, if you go 98, 99, 100, it says, I am wiser than my elders. I am wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than my teachers. I have more understanding than my elders. Because of what he's doing, it's increasing his wisdom, his understanding, his insight is increasing. Your relationship with God will definitely be strengthened. And there might even be, not might, there are even health benefits. I was looking at this, and the medical field is running with this. Check it out for yourself. People with anxieties and depression and so on, they actually did a study to say, hey, one guy who was a pediatrician had 27 people that had anxieties and were depressed. He said they prayed for 1 hour per week. 1 hour per week, prayer and meditation, for 5 weeks. And their symptoms went down. And those people, those 27 people, they didn't want to end the study. They hung together as a group for a whole year. And then they were checked again. They were not showing symptoms of anxiety and depression and so on. So, the rest of the world has picked up on it. Other studies have shown that students who engage in meditating, their aptitude is higher. They understand better. They retain things more, and so on. So, health. There's definitely health benefits in there. And at the end of it all, when we began, we said, it's about us changing. The more we hang out with the Lord, the more that we'll start looking like him. we are not staying there long enough. I'm not staying there long enough. This world is quick, busy. You have this, you have that, that is snatching your attention. You need to set aside time to hang out more with him. Who'll be transformed. There is that one song which used to go, Nibadilishe weponi mwako. Nibadilishe. So he says, when I look at you, I see the thing that I want to be, and I'm changed. I see the glory that is in you, and it reflects on me. I see the glory in you, it reflects on me. That's what I want. That glory will reflect on me. I hope I've stirred you to some jealousy. January 1, 2020, let's compare notes. Praise be to God. Amen. 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 Let's close our eyes.